if you're an artist and you've already got fans and they already know about you and your site, why would you send them to somewhere else?
Welcome back to the First Crack Podcast. I am Garrick Van Vieren. This is 107. We're talking with Thomas Bombeck about his Source web framework for musicians and other artists to sell and license their wares online. DJ Edna, available at the .com and the .org. I want to thank Jeremy Pillar for the background music, for theme music. As always, questions and comments, firstcrackpodcast.com or firstcrack@gmail.com. Here we go.
Well, DJ Edna is a project that I've been working on for about a year, an open source like WordPress for independent musicians to be able to sell their own artwork over the internet without having to use middlemen like Snowcap or any services like this that take a per-track fee. The idea being that since the code is open source and free, that independent artists who have a geek friend could install this on an extra computer in their basement and run it that way with no fees. Just recently launched with the first couple of bands, Skull Cranes, which you can see at theskullcranes.com, and Spirit Assault. So it's kind of exciting, you know, working on e-commerce models inside of it and things like that. Making it integrate with WordPress, so rather than, you know, recreating another blog engine, use the best breed that are out there, Gallery, you know, things like that. So, you know, DJ Edna was built from the ground up to integrate with all of these other open source packages. So again, you know, an artist can get started for free.
So DJ Edna handles the music catalog, any artwork associated with it, and the e-commerce, and then for the other functionality, you plug into existing, like the blog or photos, you're going to plug into an existing or another system.
Exactly. And even though I mentioned WordPress and Gallery, those are just the ones that I know well. And so when I do consulting for bands, that's the ones I recommend. But in actuality, it should be able to integrate in with any blogging engine. You know, it doesn't even have to be in you know, the language that I've written DJ Edna.
So. Behold the power of APIs.
Exactly. It's all about the RESTful web service these days. So, yeah. Which, of course, means nothing to the artists listening. So, yeah. But that's, you know, again, that's why also I offer consulting services around getting it installed. Even if it's just you have a couple of questions or something like that, that can't be, you know, answered on the public forums that we have. You know, I've got very reasonable consulting fees, you know, to help an artist with as much or as little as they need, including, you know, consulting around the, you know, the Creative Commons legal issues and things that are around there if an artist wants to go that way as well. You know, anti-DRM issues, changing economics of the music business. You know, it's a very exciting time, I think, right now for an independent musician because the technology and the tools have gotten to the point, much like recording did about, you know, a decade ago, where you could get a four track and actually put together a decent album. Well, now you're at the point where you can take that self-created art, you know, that you did in your bedroom or in your basement or in your home studio, and now you can literally distribute it to the world for really nothing more than an internet connection.
You'd mentioned Creative Commons. So how does DJ Edna handle these sorts of licensing things, or does it?
Well, right now it does not, but you know, in the model planned is, you know, I've got placeholders in there for being able to assign different types of licenses to your music, and you know, even to the point of being able to automatically be able to sell a commercial license to an entity, you know, somebody wants to use it in a commercial or something like that, to be able to make that be able to be completely automated through your site as well. The idea being that, you know, the less paperwork that has to happen, the more likely that someone will use you for a podcast, you know, much like this, or, you know, a commercial or something like that. The idea is to again, help artists get their music in front of people that have money that want to pay for it.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I have money. I'd like to give it to you. Make it easy.
Exactly. Well, and that's why I've come up with this idea of that in today's world, your fans really, you need to look at them less as consumers and more as patrons. Oh, yeah. And this idea of micro-patronage, where You know, the model isn't selling plastic discs anymore for an exorbitant fee. What it is now is I can make it more akin to how public radio works now, where essentially the product is free. It's out there. Whether you put DRM on your music or not, the only way to prevent your music from getting out there and being free is to not release it. And as soon as you release something, whether you put all kinds of, you know, chains and restrictions on it, it's going to become free within a matter of hours. So the idea is to not make money through artificial scarcity, trying to lock down your music. It's to convince people that, to become patrons of yours, to voluntarily give you money, even though they don't have to get your music. But the idea being there that if they come to your site, it's the most convenient place to get it. They can get the highest quality. And to a certain extent, I'm also building in the ability to have subscription models. So that, you know, if you're an artist who's somewhat prolific and you're putting out, you know, a song a week or something like that, then that lends yourself to more of a subscription model where you can actually have somebody, you know, subscribe to, you know, to your band for, you know, a year or something like that and then get everything for free. So that's also being built in there, as well as just the individual, you know, per track, per album pricing as well.
No, I'm a big fan of the subscription, and when Jonathan Colton was doing his Song a Week project, you know, for a year, well, absolutely, I'm going to support that. You're using the word art.
Yes.
A suspiciously vague term for this service. I'm assuming that means it extends. You have bigger that it's not specifically tied to audio.
That's correct. Although it started as tied to audio, I guess I could step back and just kind of talk about the beginnings of where this idea came from. And really, it didn't come as this idea at all. It had started out with after I left my soul-sucking corporate gig. I wanted to learn Django, which is the web framework that I used to build this. And so I just wanted a kind of a throwaway project to get started with. And so forever, I've wanted to have my music collection available online for me, so that I could, you know, listen to it literally from anywhere in the world, anywhere I could have a browser. So I started building this project, kind of basing it on a previous project called Edna, which was probably about 6-7 years ago and hasn't seen any updates since then. But all it did was just essentially, you know, serve out your MP3s over a web server. So I started off with that, and as I got into, kind of building this infrastructure, I started to realize that there wasn't much separating it from a service like an eMusic or something like that, or a Snowcap, any of these services where you upload your music into it and then they take a fee when they sell a track. But, you know, the world's already full of these services that are out there. I mean, I only mentioned the two, but I think there's probably 6 or 7 where an artist could upload their music and, you know, to another online store. But this one had been built specifically to be easy to install on just on someone's computer so that they can serve their own music. And so then that's when I started to come down to this model where, well, why does an artist need to have anybody between them and their fan? And should they have anybody between them and their fan? You know, it results in a couple of things when you go with these third-party sites. You end up with kind of a cookie-cutter site. You know, if you're an artist that wants to have a lot of that Flash, I get that asked a lot. How does this integrate with Flash? Not a big fan of Flash. To me, an artist should be focusing on what their core competency is and not so much worrying about having something that sparkles and swirls when you come to it and plays music automatically.
Let alone completely unmaintainable.
Exactly. We could go into stories about that. But, you know, on the other hand, sometimes an artist has an artistic vision, and sometimes Flash will be a part of that. And so, you know, again, you can make your website whatever you want it to be, and the DJ Edna component will be able to run underneath it and be able to provide it. So, you know, again, it was about flexibility and about getting rid of the middlemen between an artist and their fans. Getting back to your original question, which was, I'm using the word artist and art everywhere, and that's because I've begun to realize that although this was built specifically for audio and currently is focused around audio, there's really no reason that this exact same model can't be broadened out to visual artists, to even textual artists, although to a certain extent, I think the tools that are out there kind of cover them already, you know, blogs, that kind of thing. But really, you know, someday there's really no reason that this couldn't be, that there couldn't be a DJ Edna for visual artists to be able to sell, again, you know, licenses to their art for use on a website or something like that, all the way to buying a framed version of their work. So, yeah, so I'm using art and artist somewhat on purpose.
Well, that makes sense. If I, you know, I think this photography could work the same way, or a PDF could work the same way. I get a crappy, small, low-bit version, but I want a nice version to frame, you know. This could be the same as, you know, a crappy MP3 versus a decent, you know, AUG or a, you know, whatever those other crazy FLV or whatever those things. Not FLV.
Wait,
can you give me a nice wave, please? Yeah. I think I'm thinking of a shorty or whatever.
Exactly. And the pricing models, again, you know, I'm building in the multiple pricing models so that an artist can either give it away for free or they can, you know, charge different amounts for downloading versus streaming versus playing in the browser itself through, you know, JavaScript plugins, things like that. But I'm also getting to the point where I'm able to hook up more dynamic pricing models, kind of like the Amy Street model. Amy Street, I really admire what they're doing.
They did an interesting thing that based on the number of, changing the pricing based on the number of people that have purchased it.
Exactly. All tracks start out for free. And then based on how popular they are as far as downloads, the price starts to go up a little bit until it reaches a maximum, I think, of like 98 cents or something like that. And again, there's no reason an artist can't do that with their own catalog. You know, start off everything with free. Then that's kind of the way you find out what's the hit. And then the hit starts to make you money automatically. So that's, actually, I was working on that this morning. I was working on the Amy Street pricing model. Not sure how much it'll work for an individual artist, as opposed to, again, Amy Street is, again, the kind of the aggregator record store model, if you think about it, where you can go there to buy a bunch of different artists. But, again, what I see happening on the web is a little bit different than what happened in the physical, you know, in the old model where we sold physical plastic discs, whether they be vinyl or CDs. And that is that, you know, within a particular town, you'd have a certain number of record stores. They'd all carry pretty much the same stock. And so you'd go based on, you know, the people that you know at the store, you know, somebody who can recommend, or, you know, the ambiance, something like that. But on the web, it's a little bit different in that we still have all of these different places to go, aggregates to go and buy our music. But there's really no advantage to one over another. And so what we've ended up with is all of these aggregate sites that are all taking a piece out of the middle, but there's really no need for them. There's no draw for people to go there as opposed to going to the artist's site themselves. And so, again, I'm trying to let artists know that they don't really need anybody. And, again, I'm trying to do that through the open source model. The biggest misperception I've had around DJ Edna is everybody assumes that there is a DJ Edna site where the music is and that the artists sign up and they just put it there. And I keep trying to say, no, that's a different model. I am trying much more to empower an individual artist to take control of their own business, much like an independent plumber would. You know, there's no difference there. You would pay one time to get any work done that you can't do yourself or you don't have time to do yourself. But, you know, you wouldn't see a plumber signing up a deal with a plumbing supplier to say, well, you know, I'm going to use your stuff and then I'm going to give you 50% of everything that I do. You know, that makes no sense for many small businesses and makes absolutely no sense to an artist. And again, I don't really have a problem with these sites. HostBaby is another good one, which is done by the same people who do CDBaby. Again, I love what they're doing. Big fan of their site. I buy a lot of CDs off of CD Baby and find a lot of music actually off of CD Baby. And that's the one, I would say that aggregating sites that actually do a good job of helping you discover new music, and there aren't very many of those that do that, they actually have a value add. And there is actually a reason for an artist to have their music there as well. But again, if you If you're an artist and you've already got fans and they already know about you and your site, why would you send them to somewhere else and have somebody else take some of that money if it's not really necessary?
And one of those places being iTunes.
Yes, iTunes, absolutely. Although I think the only advantage that iTunes really has to it is just how easy it is to get in and download software. I don't know, or download music. I don't know a lot of people that go to iTunes with the specific purpose of finding new artists, of finding things that they don't already know that they're going for. You know, so I would equate that more to your Target, your Walmart, your big box retailer, as far as, like, if you look again at the CD model. You know, whereas DJ Edna is very much like buying a CD out of the artist's trunk. Interesting story is I saw M. Dowdy a while back. And this was right after Soul Coughing had broke up. It was before he had a recording contract for his solo stuff. And he was literally selling CDRs out of his trunk, you know, black and white Xeroxed J-cards. You know, and the music was just as good. And actually, it felt a little bit better buying it. So that's kind of the same feeling I'm trying to get here, which is, you know, it's not just about changing the artist's mentality of knowing that they can run their own business, you know, soup to nuts, but also somewhat to the fans that says, you know what, these conglomerates are great, these aggregating sites, iTunes Music Store did, well, will probably go down in the annals of the one big thing that the iTunes Music Store did was destroy DRM. As a business model, and that's a good thing. And we can get into the technical details of why that happened, but again, I think that in the end, it's no harder to go to an artist's individual site than it is to go to iTunes. The one advantage there would be if iTunes really did a good job of helping you discover new music, which I don't think it does today. That, again, would change the story. And then it's not so much about it being a store. It's about it just being, you know, another way to, you know, the magnet magazine. You know, anything that helps you kind of branch out, you know, start here. I like these artists, you know, and do some suggestions for me. That's where I see the aggregates having any type of a business model going forward. So,
but then there's... From my perspective, there's very little difference between a conglomeration doing a centralized aggregation versus, you know, trusted experts. And trusted experts could be your friends or, you know, somebody who you don't even know. And it's always, in that sense, I'd bias, you know, my friends.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. And so, you know, maybe there isn't a model for that as well. I mean, and then you look at a site like Last.fm. Where you're not just getting recommendations from your true, actual, you know, living friends, you know, in body, but from what they call neighbors, which are just people that are using Last.fm that happen to have a few artists in similar with you, and then you can actually start to branch out and see what else they're interested in. You know, and eMusic does this as well. So again, as long as there's that value add, but I don't think sites like Snowcap, where their only value add is that you can go there and you can buy some artists' music with DRM. I don't see that as being a sustainable business model. You know, and then to an artist that represents, if that's where all your eggs are, you know, you're kind of relying on their good business sense to keep your music out there. And again, I think, you know, Snowcap is actually in trouble. Which makes sense, you know, where they're, it's free to get started for an artist. I mean, that's a good thing, right? It's free to get your music out there. They just take a percentage of every sale. But the problem is that once an artist gets somewhat popular and Snowcap could make some money off of you in order to maintain themselves, well, nobody goes to Snowcap to buy music unless that's the only place you can get it. And... You know, so as soon as an artist gets big, they're going to be on iTunes. Hopefully they'll have their own site where you can buy, you know, your music directly from them. So again, those that don't offer a value add beyond the music itself, I don't see them having a long term, you know. And that's why for the artists that I'm consulting with, I you know, I very much recommend to them that their site not just be, you know, a place to download. You know, I encourage them to blog if they can, specifically to blog about other artists that they're listening to. I encourage them to get Last.fm accounts and be able to, you know, integrate those back into their site. So, because a lot, you know, I think another place where people, we were just talking about this, where people can get suggestions for other music to listen to, I think a really powerful one is for your favorite artists to tell you who they are listening to. And so that's another thing that I'm looking at eventually putting into DJ Edna. It's on the ever-growing potential feature list. And so I'm hoping to get other developers starting to help work on DJ Edna, because I've got a long list of things that can get done. But one of the other things I want to build in there is an automated way for, you know, whether that integrates in with Last.fm or some other automatic way to kind of see what the artist is listening to be able to get that up on their site, perhaps even to the point of if those artists also have a DJ Edna install, that somehow the two would communicate, you know, to easily switch you back and forth from one site to another, something like that. I haven't exactly thought that through all the way, but I think the idea of an artist that you like recommending other bands that they like is probably even a much more, much stronger indicator of other art that you would like, more so than even your friends are. So, all kinds of ideas for going into this. But that's the beauty of open source, is still waiting for somebody to take it and add their own feature to it. But you know, it's early. I haven't done any type of marketing for it yet. Again, I'm not a big fan of get it done now. I've seen too much in my professional career where speed kills.
And in my own personal experience on my own projects, I've found that if you take time, you'll find a better answer.
That is absolutely true. Absolutely true. You know, and so when you have time, you're not afraid to just throw something away and start over, do it a better way, like I said, come up with a better answer for something. And that's happened to me, hundreds of times since I've started. The code doesn't resemble at all what it did when I started. And that's really a good thing, because like I said, this started off as a learning project, so there was a lot of, and there still is to a certain extent, if there's any Python developers out there that go and grab the source code. Any problems you have with it, I will tell you that that was from my learning days. I'm going to clean it up.
So each, I don't know, track, each artist, each something has a permalink that you can point to that you've been playing around with sending that to Twitter. What's the granularity there, and is that? Let's talk about the decision to say, you know, we're going to get permalinks down to this level of granularity.
Well, the idea of a permalink, and for the non-technical that are listening, the idea of a permalink is just it's a URL, you know, the thing they type into the browser bar that stays the same over time and is somewhat human readable. So, for instance, in DJ Edna, we actually take if you want to go to an album, it's you go to album/, and then it's the title of the album, made safe for URL getting rid of characters you can't use, that kind of thing. And then that stays permanent. That's, I guess, the name permalink. But I thought that was a very important idea for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that the inventor of the World Wide Web, Tim Berners-Lee, is very, very explicit on how important he thought that the idea of a single unique URL for a single unique resource on the web. And we've gotten away from that. Again, another bang at Flash. if we want to get back to that. And so, again, I also think that if you're an artist and you're having your own website, the primary goal of that website is to make it easy for fans to be able to find your work. And the biggest way to make it harder for them to find your work is for the URL to an album to be hard to remember, or to have it change all the time, things like that. So once you have that, though, once you have a unique URL that defines a track or an album or an artist, it becomes very easy then to link it into other services like Twitter or Gtalk status, things like that. And so, I've been playing around a little bit with you know, posting statuses around things like what album am I listening to through DJ Edna, which is a little aside from the focus of DJ Edna as an artist tool. One of the other uses of DJ Edna, which I alluded to earlier, was just as a personal, you know, personal music machine, just so you can have your personal collection available, you know, password protected, again, to protect you from the RIAA, from any browser in the world. So, you know, one of the features, again, is playing with is, what am I listening to now? What artist am I listening to? And I've been playing around a little bit with that on Twitter, but what I've determined is that... it's too much information for Twitter. You know, it's too many.
There's a level of frequency that it gets. Yeah, when I was playing with that, I think it was like a 5-minute threshold. Anything if I was doing more than one post in 5 minutes, people were unhappy with me. So I switched it over to I had that script that would update, and it would only be for like podcasts that were 10 minutes or longer. You know,
exactly.
That I mean, listen to this, and yeah.
Yep. Twitter updates are great, but I think when it comes to something like what am I listening to right now, for the most part, nobody cares. You know, it's harsh to say that, but music is such a personal thing. You know, just because we might enjoy one band together doesn't mean we're going to like the rest of rest of my collection. And so I think other than just the novelty of having friends kind of click on the link I think they're more interested in actually just looking at DJ Edna than they were at, you know, the fact that I was listening to, you know, the Boogie House tapes or something like that. So, so we're playing around with that. Again, I'm all about integrating it into whatever open platforms that I can, you know, possibly integrate it into that it'll be useful for.
Well, the first one that comes to mind is, you know, the something like a MySpace, where, you know, that's the one that's gotten all the buzz for where you know, bands should be. But, you know, this is flipping on its head. Not that I'm a fan of silos like that, but, you know.
Exactly.
It exists in the world, and you know, so your thoughts on comparing the two?
Well, DJ Edna, I haven't mentioned the MySpace at this point, but DJ Edna is meant to be kind of in the same way that hosting sites like HostBaby or Snowcap or those iTunes to a certain extent. In the same way that DJ Edna is meant to kind of cut them out of it, well, MySpace is very much the same thing. Yes, it's free. You can update it. There's lots of people on there. What did you call it? A
silo.
A silo. A black hole. An information black hole. It sucks information in, but it doesn't give any back. I've also had friends that have referred to MySpace as damage. It's damage to the internet, and the internet will route around it eventually. That being said, every artist is going to be on MySpace, at least for the foreseeable future. But that's why I've built some widgets that will allow DJ Edna to show up inside of a MySpace page, maybe to replace the default player that's in there. Oh, God, I hate that. Interesting side note, I'm sure everyone's experienced this when you go to MySpace and you go to a band page and all of a sudden the music starts blaring. Somebody had just posted on the Skullcranes today that they wanted the little autoplayer widget that I have for that. They wanted to know how to make that autoplay when you come to a page, and I told them that, yes, it's easy to do, but I'm not going to tell them how because that's bad internet etiquette, and, just go to MySpace if you like that kind of thing. So, MySpace has one thing going for it, which is that there's a lot of people there. There's a network of people there, but again, to a certain extent, I don't think you're going to find a lot of new bands by trying to search around on MySpace, again, other than through going to bands that you already like and seeing what links they have, and, you know, kind of the random browsing, which is, again, something I want to bring to DJ Edna at some point and allow individual artist sites to kind of cooperate like a MySpace without having to be centralized and owned by Rupert Murdoch. So, and that's the other reason that I think bands should be careful of MySpace is that the user agreement for MySpace is vague enough that it's very likely that most of the stuff that's been posted on MySpace, that Fox and News Corp has pretty much a blanket license to use it in any of their properties. They haven't done it yet, but...
No, there's always a price for free.
there's always a price for free. Except for DJ Edna. Well, the price there would be, the sweat that you would put into getting it set up. Because I haven't focused on making it super easy to install at this point. It's not just a double-click install. You have to know a little bit, just a very basic amount of, you know, kind of Unix admin, that kind of stuff.
It's sort of like along the lines of the WordPress 5-minute install.
Oh, I wish it was that good. I would say it's more like a half-hour install, I would say. I've got step-by-step instructions on there for one particular operating system. It's not that different for other operating systems, but again, in the spirit of the open source project that it is, I'm hoping that other people will install it and come in and write their own specific instructions for those other systems. I guess that would be the only price that you'd have to pay for that, and I guess a computer to run it on. I've spent a lot of time tuning it, making it very efficient so that it can run on very old boxes. Because, again, my anticipation is that, you know, you're going to run this on a computer that's 7-8 years old, maybe P2, P3 era. And so just to eat kind of my own dog food, my personal DJ Edna install, which has, I think we're up at 1,700 albums, over 20,000 tracks, I'm running that on an old Pentium 3. With 256 megs of RAM that's sitting under my desk.
Well, so you're literally thinking, spare computer, run this off of that, plug it into your existing internet connection, call it a day.
Absolutely. I mean, that's empowering the artist. That's $0 startup, other than the internet access, which you're probably going to have anyway. Absolutely. If it was just another, buy this software and you can be online. Well, there's, again, you've got some choices there as well. You kind of get just what they've anticipated rather than what a community of artists have anticipated for needs. They're going to find some way to get money out of you. So I'm only here to take money if you really need the help. It's consulting, no fee to use the software, no fee to ask questions online. But, you know, if you want somebody to maintain it for you, even hosting, I will do hosting. I've got
a spare 8-year-old computer you can
actually no if you go with the hosting firm, you actually get a top of the line in a bunker in St. Louis, with the top tier internet access and everything like that. Although I offer these services around it, that's the primary goal of the project was to empower artists to do themselves. So if an artist never came to me and never needed any help, that would be great. I'd be just fine with that as long as they were using it, making money.
Thanks, Thomas.
Thank you.